Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile, my curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go. Riding along in my automobile, I was anxious to tell her the way I feel. So I told her softly and sincere, and she leaned and whispered in my ear. Cuddling more and driving slow, with no particular place to go. Place to go. So we parked way out on the Kokomo. The night was young and the moon was gold. So we both decided to take a stroll. Can you imagine the way I felt? I couldn't unfasten a safety belt. Riding along in my calaboose, still trying to get her belt to loose. All the way home I held a grudge for the safety belt that wouldn't budge. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
Oh, my. not compromise. I'm gonna break myself through. Not gonna break because of you. You think I'm a bitch? What you want me to say? None of your words gonna get in my way. Call me a bitch, cause it's red in your lines. None of your words gonna skin in my thighs. Say I'm a bitch, what you want me to say? None of your shade gonna ruin my day. You think I'm a bitch, what you want me to do? Not gonna cry, cause you're telling me.
Tonight on Full of Grace, my microwave is really nosy. Speaking of noses, Bette Midler begins previews to Hello Dolly on Broadway. And in-house Tonight star of RuPaul's Drag Race and RuPaul's All-Stars, comedian, singer, and actress Ginger Minj joins my consecrated crew. Stay tuned, the slander starts here.
Ron is stable, Captain. Woo-hoo! Let's see some fucking action!
You bitch.
I have never wanted to grab your pussy more.
It was fun to get drunk and have some guy's wiener in your face.
Thank you for eating my end.
When it rains, go outside nude and let it rain on my flower.
I don't even know who the fuck you are anymore.
Live from gorgeous downtown Orlando, welcome to Full of Grace, a show about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fabulous. Tonight, Divine Grace's roundtable consecrated crew is Carol Lee.
You know what? I bet Madonna lets her eat her pussy, but Madonna doesn't do it that.
Christine Robinson.
Quaaludes were involved in, right. Yes.
Jay Skinner.
It's the basket of deplorables. They're going down.
And Michael O'Quinn.
Yeah, but who doesn't like a big fat one?
And now, from the bowels of Orlando, Florida, your mistress of ceremonies, the one, the only, the Divine Grace.
Oh my God, everyone, please sit down. Welcome to Full of Grace, show about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fabulous, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your hostess, the Divine Grace.
Yay!
With me tonight is my consecrated crew around the round table this evening, Michael P. O'Quinn.
Michael!
Actress Christine Robinson.
Yay. I love her, she's the best.
Do you know who's not here?
Who?
Carol Lee. Carol Lee is out tonight. Oh my God, we're haunted. Disgust. Carol Lee is on assignment tonight in lovely downtown Detroit.
But she is in the chat room.
Hello, Carol Lee.
Or at least she's listening. She may not be chatting yet, but...
Also out tonight, taking a paid sick leave day. Jay Skinner.
Yeah, so I jumped a little ahead on
that. So right now it's just the three of us, because Ginger, am I pronouncing that right? Ginger? Mingy? Mm-hmm. Has not joined us yet. I'll have to send her a message and see if she's still on her way. I know she had a previous.
Do I get paid more for being here since no one else?
Right, you get
I kind of feel like here. You get everybody's pay tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Give me that pizza.
Well, and this is going to be a very special show tonight because, you know, last week I felt like we had a good thing going by just avoiding the Orange Goblin King.
Mm-hmm.
So that we could just take a breather from that asshole.
Yes.
But there's been so much happening tonight. That's all we're talking about.
Oh.
Donald Trump. 4 hours of Donald. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks for... bye.
Gotta go. She's
well, you know what?
That pay, that extra pay.
All right, wait. Michael's unplugging the computer as he goes.
All right.
I may just be talking to you guys on the phone tonight.
Bye.
No, it's such a weird week. But anything interesting happened to you this week?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, last night
Christine put together a fabulous evening for us to go to the fair, and she was not there.
No, I wasn't, but how was it? How was the fair?
It was a fair. Like, it was a pretty decent-sized fair, too.
Please tell me about the food that you ate, because that's all I cared about, because I'm not going to ride the rides, but I want to
eat the food. By the way, we rode almost everything, except the little kid rides.
Shut up.
Yeah, even the really bad haunted house.
Oh my god.
That was so scary.
Oh my god, that was just awful.
Yeah.
Awful, horrible.
Like, literally, like, you're riding around and you feel ashamed you're in it.
It's like a little track, so it's just kind of going back and forth. And then there's a light goes on and there's like a really bad dummy in front of you. And it goes on, and that's all it is.
I think that was me, actually. I was sitting in front of Michael, the light came on. He's like, oh god damn it. This is stupid.
Jesus. The Tilt-A-Whirl, the what was that big one that went up? The
rainbow?
The thing that was all the way around?
the rainbow.
Oh, I'm sorry, Immortal Beach. It's called the rainbow. I can't remember what it was called.
I don't know what it was last night.
Lots of centrifugal.
That sent me over.
Lots of rides about centrifugal.
Oh my god.
Sent you over like
Sent
you over like Blow Chow?
Like after that ride, I was like, I know that I'm too old to do this now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like, I realized that was it. I was like, well, carnival rides are different than theme park rides. It is a little rougher on a carnival ride.
Yeah.
And there's always that fear of dying because, you know.
Because it's
First of all, I look at how competent the carny is driving it. And a couple of them, they were talking to themselves and not paying attention. But anyways, the first one we got on was the Gravitron that you get inside that looks like a big spaceship. And you get in and it spins really fast and the walls slide up and you slide up on them and it's hardcore.
Is it one of the ones you stand up?
You're standing up. It looks like a spaceship.
You're slapped to the wall by centrifugal force.
Yeah. Okay.
So we all get on. Katie's next to me. I think Kathy, I don't know where Divine Grace was on one side.
I was on your right.
Okay. And were you aware of Katie? I thought Katie was going to pass out.
I
thought she did pass out.
Her boobs were literally under her arms.
They were way over here. She at one point she was next to me and I'm like giggling and laughing. And then at one point I'm going, wow, this is a lot stronger than I remember. And I look over at Katie and her eyes were closed and she was just bleh. And I thought, oh my god, she's passed out. I'm like, oh my god, because then I thought, oh my god, when it stops, she's going to fall. So I was like, Katie, and she's like, Michael, and she grabbed me really hard. She's like, Michael, and I'm like, Katie, I can't make the Mexican guy here stop this.
Senor.
And I'm like, but she grabbed me so serious, like I'm about to die. And I was like, hey, I'm sorry, Katie, I gotta write it out. I don't know. It was rough. That one, and then that last one.
Katie's got 6 eggs left in her uterus, and we scrambled every.
We scrambled those bitches last night.
I love that Michael Kosh online now says,
"Crapatron."
Crapatron.
That's
Crapatron.
Well, that's what came at 4:30 this morning for me because we did decide. My first thing was exactly what you just said. Oh my god, I've got to go get all that good carnival food.
Yeah.
Well, I did.
Okay.
I got it all.
Okay, wait a second. First of all, what time did you all, because I was watching online, because we were all sending texts like, I'm there, I'm not there. Are you there? Where are you?
We started at the Parliament House, yep, and then we
got there about 7:30.
About 7:30, yeah.
Okay, so you were actually in the fair.
And we closed it last night. We closed the fair. We were there until they were running us
It
out.
Was also the weather could not have been better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was beautiful.
I loved that it was just cool enough that you weren't. No, it is.
But boy, the people there.
How many teeth?
Six amongst them all.
There was, remember the hot redneck guy with the family? One of the good hometown fucking rednecks.
Corn-fed elbow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was cute, and that was about it.
Tell me about the food. All I want to know
The food was pretty
delicious.
Fucking amazing.
Except I ended up, I just kept seeing a sign, this gigantic sign that said bacon. Bacon.
Yes, bacon.
Every ride I was on, I could see it. I was like, I've got to go see what this is all about.
So what was, where, when, how, who, when?
They hand me a slice of bacon on a skewer the size of my leg.
Okay.
It's like that thick.
It wasn't actually like when I say bacon, I don't want you to think of like sizzling. or maybe breakfast bacon. It was basically the entire underside of a young piglet. Skewered and fried.
Because today is the last day. So yesterday was the second to the last day. So I'm sure they wanted to make it bigger and better before.
Oh, they were handing that at the end of the night too. Like they were, you know, here's two. Take, cause they're closing up and they know. Now, I'm sure that bacon probably had a shelf life of 16, 17 years.
Of course it did.
It wasn't bad, but it was completely
you were
going
to be bloated for like 20 years after that for lots of salt sodium, content. Uh-huh.
Lots of sodium. We had a sausage and peppers that was phenomenal.
A donut burger.
Shot. How
I had
that?
Never had before. I could do without it. It was, you know, they kind of messed it up because it was actually a burger Philly cheesesteak with under two donuts.
Nah.
It was not. It wasn't bad, but it
steak-em.
Wasn't.
It was steak-em and donuts.
Steak-em and donuts.
Oh.
I had that, a funnel cake, that some of that sausage. I couldn't do the bacon.
Four turtle
the bacon was so thick.
Three French hens.
It was horrible.
The bacon was too thick?
I love bacon. Don't get me wrong.
It wasn't like bacon. It was, I mean, it was just.
It was like fatback.
It was pork. It was just pork belly. Like, it was fatty pork belly on a skewer. It was too much.
So there wasn't any, like, dipped in chocolate
There was a
whole... They had the chocolate bacon, and I was like, no, that's far too much for me.
It's and the one where I got... What did I get? Oh, I got a pretzel. A fried pretzel. They had fried everything.
There was
a list of everything they fried, from Oreos to fucking whatever. It too tasted much. Wonderful, but at 4:30 this morning, I woke up puking and shitting.
Wow.
Like, puking and squirting.
I
love that song.
Puking and squirting and crying.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that song. Okay.
I have not been to a carnival like that, like an actual carnival, in decades.
Me neither.
Back home in my hometown, we have a theme park. I say that with a big laugh. But we've got a theme park in my hometown that's been around for, I don't know, longer than I've been alive. Called Ghost Town in the Sky, Maggie Valley. Ghost Town in the Sky, and it's an Old West themed theme park, 1 mile in elevation. So it's up on top of a mountain, a mile up. You can either take a chairlift up to it, or a train that is sort of like 45-degree angle, like it's straight up the mountain. And at the top, you have. A theme park with no concrete. It's all gravel. So that's fun to walk around on all day. Then you've got carnival rides. It was, you know, it's exactly what we saw last night, with the exception they've added a roller coaster that's right off the cliffside. Without a doubt, every year someone's injured at Ghost Town.
Someone dies.
If I had a dime every time the chairlifts broke and people just fell.
Yeah, it just flew. They flew away from it.
So you have to basically take out a life insurance policy before you go. Because you think it's bad to have these carnies working here in Florida at this fair. Imagine that same premise, except you've now got rides that are just never inspected.
That's the horrifying part. I love going to carnival rides knowing that there's a good chance I could die.
Have you ever been to Coney Island?
No, I've never been.
Coney Island is much that way. Everything's sort of dilapidated old. You ride the Cyclone, which is this old wooden roller coaster.
Yep.
That you actually feel like you might very well die on because it is so old and rickety.
Yeah.
You run the risk.
And were they not doing helicopter rides last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, helicopter rides at the fair. I've never heard of that before.
How much was it, though?
I don't know. Even notice. We didn't go over there. We were on a ride, and I kept seeing a helicopter land and take off, and land and take off. So they must have had two.
Have you ever been in a helicopter?
Never.
I haven't either.
I want to.
What about you?
Yes, I have.
How is it?
Many times.
Wait, do you like flying?
Yeah. No, I do. I do like flying.
Okay, a very different problem.
But it's rickety, and, I mean, probably the thing at the fair.
Is it scary?
Like, do you feel like you're going to die?
No.
No?
I mean,
Can I ask you a question?
No.
When you said you've ridden several times.
Uh-huh.
When you take off or land, do you hum the theme song to MASH?
Yes.
Wow, we couldn't have picked two more contrasting notes.
Thank you. Well, in harmony.
So, did you guys see Carol Lee?
this week.
I watch Carolee all the time.
Her little videos
follow.
Out of
I didn't
Detroit.
Get to see it this week. I've been out of the loop.
She looks great. She looks great
she
for,
always
for
looks
a woman
great.
Who is recovering from... Oh, we're not supposed to talk about her drug addiction.
Right, yeah, no.
Osteoporosis? No.
From her postmenopausal osteoporosis.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
No, I'd completely forgotten she was that she was out of state today, so because there's big news, should we go into Kaylee Dispatch?
The Kaylee Dispatch. Well, that fucked up.
Thank you all for coming. All
right, have a good night. Bye-bye. Here we go.
Put down the tiara and pick up a mop. Because we're about to spill the tea in today's
Kaylee Dispatch, auntie.
All right, so in the news, Donald Trump. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, good God.
I have so many windows open, but we will have to discuss, like, Skellyanne Conway. Mm-hmm. Did you catch her clip on the Today Show?
The newest one, I didn't.
No,
this week,
probably not.
So this week, she's back out of, you know, they kind of tucked her away after she showed her ass
mm-hmm.
a few weeks ago promoting Ivanka's line of QVC merchandise.
Oh, good God, no.
Nordstrom. And so they tucked her away until she got that horrible shot where she was sitting like a high school cheerleader in the Oval Office. So tacky. Anyway, so it looks like the media has finally gotten completely sick of her shit.
Finally.
This week, she was being interviewed on the Today Show by Matt Lauer and who's his wench? I don't even know the woman's name because I haven't watched the Today Show in earnest in years. But they were discussing with Kellyanne Conway these wiretap claims that Donald Trump had made against Barack Obama. And as Kellyanne Conway does, she just pivots. You know that we all know the game by now. We all know exactly how the conversation will go with. Well, but Americans don't want to hear about wiretapping. Americans want to hear about job creation or whatever. Matt Lauer was having none of her shit. They're just finally.
Good,
the media has finally started saying, like, look, if you're just going to come on the show to talk in circles, we're going to address that now. Finally. So she was, no, America doesn't want to talk about, we don't need to be talking about the wiretapping. You guys should be talking about
there's more important things.
More important, like job creation. And they're like, wait. We did not bring this up. The president brought this up. We're asking you to clarify what the president said. And she, of course, was pivot. Every time she would pivot, though, Matt Lauer would say, okay, that's great. We're not talking about that right now, though. We're talking about this.
Okay.
Until fine, she was on for a solid 8 minutes, and it was just pivot, and they'd call her on it. Pivot, call her on it. And I hope that, because people are at this point, even with Trump, getting to a point where they're like, look, when I ask you a question, you can't just throw out word salad. We need an answer, with whatever it is.
And Christopher Bishop just said,
not to mention,
it is a very serious accusation. You can't just sweep this fucking under the rug.
Well, they've tried. And
yeah.
The idea is like, all right, well, we're not going to discuss it. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. You just said that the former president of the United States wiretapped your phone. Do you have, why do you say that? What evidence
right.
do you have? And he's like, well, we're investigating. It's like, okay, but when can we expect some results from that investigation that American taxpayers are paying for?
Mm-hmm. And it's just going to...
It's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
There's nothing there. It's basically he just read something off of Breitbart. I did
but
see...
But now, don't you see this as another
distraction
from
yep.
other things? And now, you know, I kept hearing that a lot. That, oh, this is just a distraction for this. Which it is a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really thought there was a mental thought behind, we're going to make a distraction. And now I really feel that there is a mental thought there of people going, someone is saying, we need to make a distraction, do this. But, so now I'm starting to feel that way,
mm-hmm.
because it is looking
up. Well, there's so much of what's going on now with this presidency that I feel, on the show specifically, like, I don't want to keep feeding that.
Right.
So when I see a story that's clearly just a distraction, I, of course, want to bring it up because it's part of the
So it's part of our social studies, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you, I think everyone around this table, I think most of the people close to us are of a certain bracket that we realize this is all a circus now. This mm-hmm. is all games. This mm-hmm. is all bullshit.
Yeah, I think.
So I'm trying to weed that out. I hope that I hope America will. It's this next election. Oh, can you believe it? We've got another one next year.
I know.
It's going to be, it's really going to tell whether or not America has woken up or whether or not it's just going to be business as usual forever. Mm-hmm. Let me pull her out. Right?
Well, don't get your hopes up.
I'm not getting my hopes up because every time I think now they know, they don't. I don't trust my fellow Americans. Let me see what else is in the news. Oh my God, it's Kellyanne Conway. how many Kellyanne? Oh. So we've got a... Oh, no, I just don't want to talk about him right now.
Who?
Trump.
Oh, well then
we'll talk about him in the second hour. You know what? Let's talk about something positive that you're not going to give a fuck about, Michael.
Okay.
But I was hoping to have some actresses around the table. I've got Christine is all of the actresses.
Thank you. I will represent the world of actresses.
She's all the actresses. I knew Kira Lee would have some interesting input on this. And I was hoping...
Probably a lot.
I was hoping that Gunger, Minge... Let me send her a text. Ginger, damn you.
Maybe she got lost. Or she... There's a lot of bars between... The highway in your...
When she gets here, we'll talk.
I don't know if you knew this, but she doesn't drink. She was washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, I didn't know.
She's a cross-dresser for Christ, I'm told.
Oh.
So she's going to love us.
I love Ginger Minj for many reasons. I have worked with Ginger Minj.
You've worked together, yeah.
For years.
Yes, yes. And I've directed Ginger Minj in a few shows. And she is truly, truly, truly an amazing... actor.
Male actress.
Well, you know, an actor, like many actresses, want to be called an actor. Katherine Hepburn said, I don't care. You can call me an actress or an actor. But either way, Ginger Minj, an amazing actor who does... some work that I hope at some point can be seen by everyone because, you know, once you're in the limelight of Hollywood
and, mm-hmm.
you know, and television and whatever, and they expect something, a theater is a whole nother realm. She does some amazing work. And I was so pleased in it as a director. The best thing you can have as a director is to cast your show with people that are going to bring everything to the table for mm-hmm. you. Ginger definitely did that. She brought to the table on the few times that I have directed her everything. I said, do this. And it was like she took this to the nth degree. And so I didn't really have to ask for a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And at a very, very, very young age, it's truly a gift.
I got to see her do Hedwig. Did you see mm-hmm. that? Amazing. And I don't think I'd ever seen her do anything other than her drag shows
mm.
before that. But that was the first thing I saw him act in.
The thing that I directed
really
her in
amazing.
Was Irma Vep.
The show right.
Two times.
That's,
two different performances.
I can imagine both of you having a fucking blast in
mm-hmm.
that show.
Mm-hmm. Irma Vep is a show, for those of you that are listening, there are only two actors, and each actor has to play about four to six or seven different roles each.
Wow.
Yes.
I've never seen it.
Oh my!
It's great. Have you ever seen Greater Tuna?
Yeah.
It's similar to that in the sense that.
Well,
it's,
here's the thing.
Lots of characters.
One of the actors in the show, and it wasn't Ginger, was having time issues with lines, and so I said, "This is what I'm going to do to help you both out." And Charles Bush, I sent a text to, and my I said, this is what I'm doing with the show, Irma Vep, which is basically his show. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm turning the second act into a silent movie. And I took my two actors, Ginger Minj and this other actor, and we took the second act and turned it into a silent movie.
Mm.
And it was amazing and a great twist to the play. And the two times that I directed were the same two actors, Ginger Minj and another very dear friend of mine. And Charles Bush said, that's really interesting. And thank you so much for letting me know because, you know, basically that's Charles Bush's show.
Well, speaking of Charles Bush.
Yes?
That's not actually about Charles Bush. The breaking news. So I've just heard back from Ginger Minj.
Mm-hmm.
She has just wrapped up Pat O'Rourke.
Oh, she's doing...
Oral Fryer she's doing. She must be doing Drags Through Spandex.
So she's right down the road.
So she's just across, just down the street. She will be over shortly. She's just wrapping with them.
When she walks in that door, she will look at me and be like,
oh,
hey, girl.
Yeah, that's...
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to say.
Oh, do you?
Chink, chink. Not racist.
I love improv. And having gone to college where you've got an acting class full of people who know how to do that,
mm-hmm.
and some of them much, much better than others, some of them incredibly good, I loved improv class. And I thought I was okay at it. Like, I made good grades in it. Some people just didn't understand you can't say no. They were, it's constantly deny, deny, deny.
I'm just a girl that can't say no.
Just a girl. But then there were others in my class that you couldn't wait to get to when we had an improv class because you would just to watch them. It would be like going to Second City or Upright Citizens Brigade. I did not ever consider how much of a skill that is necessary in the parks. And I get it, and we see plenty of it down here, but when I watch you, especially Halloween, when I watch what Carol Lee does on the streets, or Ginger, it was another one, at Sleuths, for those of you who don't know, Sleuths is sort of a mystery dinner theater. And it's just soft scripted, right?
Christine, you've been a part of for how long?
Since it began in 1984.
Wow.
Before what it is right now, actually.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a blast. Like,
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You've been, I know you go pretty regularly because before I moved to Orlando, I remember you guys sending me a keychain where you guys had gone.
Yeah.
And then I've been with you at least twice. I've been with you twice, and then I went with my friend Scott when he came to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Tora Hyman works out there. She's
Doug Bowser.
Like, well, the last time I saw you perform.
And Alia, your wife, as well.
You and Alia were both in the show, and it was an all-gay show. The cast was all gay, so Ginger was in the show. Doug was in the show. It was the best cast ever. And getting a chance to watch you guys just completely pull that out of your asses night after night, that must be so much fun.
Mm-hmm. When you have a good cast, amazing.
It's just playtime. It has to feel like when you're working with Carol, with somebody like, when you're working with somebody like Carol Lee, or you're working with somebody like Doug Bowser or whatnot, it must just feel like you're just getting to
play. Yeah, it's just actually,
playing.
Exactly. It is about playing.
Best job ever.
Now, it seems like everyone has a really good camaraderie there, but though, is there, or you don't have to say names, but... are there ever times when you have actresses that come in that just don't click?
Oh, my God, yes.
So
yes,
how do you handle that?
I send text to my wife, or she would send text to me, and we would say, oh, my God, I have to work with whoever tonight. It's like any job you have to do, I'm sure.
But you have to work around them not being able to keep up.
Go ahead, I'm so sorry, go ahead.
No, which is when you learn how to work with someone who thinks they're the best actor ever, and they try to go off on a tangent, and you learn how to just let them go, and here is dead air. And they're going off, and they're going off, and you're looking at them, and you're going off, and the audience is like, what's going on?
Right.
And they watch everyone on stage just looking at this person going off, and then... Well, that was fabulous. Thank you so much. And, you know, so, you know.
So do they know, like, once you do something like that, do they go...
Do you guys have a safety word? banana!
No, I wish. Well, but yeah. No.
Well, speaking of acting.
Oh, my God. She disappeared.
She did.
Bette Midler. I know we never talk about her on the show, but I did want to mention that...
I've heard about her.
This actress by the name of Bette Midler... Mm-hmm. She was popular in the 1900s. Is in a Broadway revival of Hello, Dolly, which started previews Wednesday night. Tuesday night, they had a dress rehearsal, invitation only, so it was her friends and family and bigwigs and that sort of thing. Have you seen the photograph yet?
Mm-mm.
She looks amazing. Like, she looks like a cartoon of Bette Midler because she looks like she might have been freshened up a little bit.
I saw a picture.
She's down to her fighting weight.
Of Dolly with some boys dancing behind her.
In the red dress.
Yes. Okay. Right. Then I have seen that.
There is also, they're keeping this production very similar to the original. They had mentioned, I think Joe Sachs is directing, that this was going to be basically a reinterpretation of the original choreography and staging and the whole nine yards. So it's basically like watching the Carol Channing version.
Which, I mean, it shouldn't. I mean, first of all, Bette can do it.
I mean, it's like you're not going to redo, you're not going to revive Phantom of the Opera and change the chandelier or something. You know what I mean? So, it is the Great American Musical, that sort of musical. I have to tell you, I've never been a fan because I never really got to know the show. I knew Matchmaker. You know, we had to read the play Matchmaker when I was in high school. I didn't care. I didn't care enough about Barbara Streisand to see the film. And all I knew was that Carol Channing had played it, like Yul Brynner, for a thousand years. So anyway, someone had released a segment of video from the song Hello Dolly, which is this, you don't understand, but it's just about halfway through the second act, she makes this big appearance on this on top of the stairs and comes in and does this song. And she was fucking incredible. Like, I'm going to be such a mess.
I'll be honest with you. I've never seen Hello, Dolly. I've never had
no interest
at all. I do want to see it. I want to see because I would love to see what Bette Midler does. I have seen clips of it. I mean, I know a little about it, but I've never been.
After she got
that time period, I hate that musicals, time period.
And I'm the same way. I just hate it. I don't care about Sound of Music Rodgers and Hammerstein. I'm not that.
Mm-mm.
I don't particularly care. I love musicals. I just don't care for the old American classic music.
Yeah.
And so this is one that, for the most part, stayed under my radar, or when it was on, like the Barbra Streisand version was on, I would see a little bit of it, but I would never get hooked. So once Bette was cast, I said, well, all right, let me go back and watch this thing, and I finally watched it from end to end. I loved it. I thought, oh my
God. You watched Streisand's.
I watched the Streisand version. Okay. I was like, this is really good. And B, you know, I'm not a big Streisand fan, but she was phenomenal in that, although miscast, she was way too young for the part. But the whole time I'm watching Barbra Streisand play this, she's got these, pardon my racial insensitivity, the slander starts here, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. But she had these Jewish mannerisms that were so Bette Midler. In the film, I thought, oh yeah, Bette Midler's going to be able to knock this out of the park. So when I mentioned this to Carol Lee, who loves this show, like she knows it inside and out, she's seen everybody play the parts, and she was like, well, that's really what this part is. You can't go wrong if you're a strong performer.
Yeah.
It's just all you need for a good Dolly Levi is just a big character. Sally Struthers could do it. Ethel Merman could do it. So then I go back and watch the Carol Channing version from like 1994.
Yes.
And somewhere around Sarasota. It was on a world tour.
Oh.
And it's pretty much the same staging. And I watch an elderly Carol Channing, who I saw when I was in college. She came back. She was on tour doing her little thing. And I watched Carol Channing playing Dolly Levi. And then I said to myself, yeah, I totally get it. I totally understand what the big deal is about Carol Channing now. Who's somebody I've always appreciated, but then, you know, I didn't stalk her. She was fucking amazing in that show. Mm-hmm. Like, comedically, she was fucking amazing in that show. So I'm very, very excited to see this revival, although I have issues with David Hyde Pierce.
Well, yes, and I agree with you there. And I saw Carol Channing do the show here in Orlando in 1980.
Oui. Oh my God.
1980, which is when I met her after the show. It was one of the first shows that came here to Orlando in 1980.
Girl.
Thank you. Had to do it on purpose. In 1980 at the Bob Carr Theater, which doesn't even exist anymore.
Bob Carr.
Is there nothing there now? I mean, the building's there,
Did they tear it down?
No, it's still there. Still up. Oh,
God.
So I've just so you outsiders. I made them sound like pariahs.
Outsiders.
So you guys. So wait. We have to go. We have to talk about Best Little Whorehouse in Texas original Broadway cast.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're listening to show tunes at work.
Like you do.
Because it's a fucking costume fabrication company. It's a bunch of queers.
Yes.
And our new employee Shane apparently. Collects show tunes. So we're listening. I said, "What?" He said, "What do you want to hear?" And I said, "You have Best Little Whorehouse in Texas." Thinking, of course, I play the film. No, he plays the Broadway cast, which I've never heard. And once I realized that's what was happening, I thought, "Oh, great! I've never heard this, so it's going to be great." And it was fucking awful.
Oh,
which song?
No. Wait. Let me get to it. So, first of all I've ever heard is the film, and you know when they take like think of Little Shop of Horrors or Rocky Horror or whatnot. When you take a band and give them when you have them playing show tunes, it's very different than an orchestra.
Yes,
and all these incredible voices, like great instruments of yes. people singing too. So we're listening to Little Bitty Pissant Country Place,
mm-hmm.
in which every prostitute sounds like she's already pissed off because she has the clap. Like, anybody have it, you mother? Get rid of her
right now, bang Sue. It's so all but all of the whores sounded like.
Oh, come inside and fix Jeff.
I mean,
the
whores sounded like whores.
They sounded like.
No, they sound like you were being
80 years of bad road and lots of smoking.
Like yeah. They all like, sounded like gonorrhea.
It, yeah, because you see the movie and they're all except for the one-eyed patch.
Yeah, wait, did we talk about that on the show?
I don't know if we did or not.
The one-eyed whore
in Best Little Whorehouse.
Uh-huh. Oh my God! So that's who we attributed. That's probably her family in the
that,
show.
That's.
Well, it better happen. She got rid of. Get rid of y'all.
That's exactly what they sounded like.
But the thing is, you also look at the fact that they took the play and they put Dolly Parton. It's just
oh my God.
A pissant country place. Nothing much to see. No drinking allowed. We get a nice quiet crowd. Plain as it can be. It's just a pitiless. And so you have this lovely Dolly Parton in a corset.
Yes.
And you're like, oh my God, who wouldn't want to hit that? But she's there with, of course, she's there with the one and all the Burt Reynolds, who at that time still looked pretty good.
Oh, my
good
God. Listen to you.
Yeah.
So we've got to get you to do some bumpers.
Hello. I can do me some Dolly. All right. Yeah, that's okay.
Full of grace.
I love that. Amen to Jesus and all the
Yeah, just go ahead and record it. Just give me, this is Dolly Parton. This is Dolly Parton in quotation marks, and you're listening to Full of Grace.
This is Dolly Parton, and you're listening to Full of Grace. This is Dolly Parton, and you're listening to Full of Grace. It's just a little bitty pissant country place.
You know who else you sound like? And it was, you totally just channeled fucking, oh my God.
Fucking someone.
Not, the Clampets.
Ellie Mae.
Ellie Mae. You sounded just like Ellie Mae for a minute.
There you go.
Well, I love me some Dolly Parton. I sang me some Dolly Parton from here to there and back again.
You are such a mimic. Like, you know, the last time I've seen you sing at karaoke, you usually pull out
Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt
out of your drink. Yes, of course. I did Eartha Kitt for many years.
You've really got an ear.
Yeah, that's...
For many years, actually, I did voiceovers. All of Lily Tomlin's character, Gilda Radner's characters. For years and years and years, I did voiceovers.
That's the first time I actually didn't see you work. I heard you work when we were at the House of Mouse, I think.
Yes!
And it was... You were a monstrosity.
Like...
Monsters, Inc. Many, many
things. Monsters, Inc.
Now, if I were to give you a little bit of Eartha Kitt's...
Blood.
What's the song? Hair Blood.
Soundtrack?
Hair.
No, if I were to, could you sing a little bit?
Yes. Oh my God, spot on if it's Eartha Kitt.
Okay, hold on.
Oh my God.
What is your favorite song?
Any of them, Eartha Kitt.
I don't
want to be alone. Where is my man?
All right. So
written by the incredible.
This will be fun. We've never
written
done this
by Bruce Valanche.
Was it really?
Yes.
Was written by Bruce Valanche.
All right. So we're gonna have a little. Let me see if I can find it. Hopefully, it's gonna sound shitty to the audience.
The kind of man that I adore is the kind of man that.
All right, wait, hold on. Here we go. I'm going to try. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
I hope that I'm ready, too. I'm really, literally pulling this off the line.
You have it.
And I have great stories about the Eartha Kitt.
Oh, well,
for the many times.
We'll have to share them.
Yeah, you've met her.
I've met her several times, and my best friend is her daughter's best friend. And was at her daughter's wedding.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
did she ever live around here?
Which one?
Did she ever live around Orlando?
Eartha?
Yeah.
I can hear Christine's vagina mewing.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage at this moment your contestant number two in talent portion of this pageant, Miss Christine Robison.
I don't want to be alone. Where is my baby? I don't want to be alone. Where is my mom? I spend hours by the phone. Where is my baby? I chew my fingers to the bone. Where is my mom?
Wow.
It was as if she was in the room.
Oh, thank you very much. That's
I remember years ago coming across a photograph of Eartha Kitt. And you remember how the old studios would send anyone who worked for them through the sort of a workshop. Like, you have to learn to dance. You have to learn how to walk.
Uh-huh.
There is a photograph of James Dean, Eartha Kitt, and Marlon Brando in tights in dance class.
What?
Like an MGM dance class. They were just there in a dance class. And looking at them like, oh yeah, of course she was part of all of that.
Wow.
But like, I miss that Hollywood so much.
Yeah, now that doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Nor do they appreciate that aspect. But like nowadays, I think it's a good and a bad thing. The good thing is that they're letting people be who they are. And represent who they are. But on the other end of it, sometimes the thing that they're representing who they are is like nothing. There's not a lot to it. And they just have connections. Mm. And those connections are the ones that are pushing them through to be something. There are a lot of actors nowadays that I cannot stand watching perform. Jonah Hill is one of those actors I was like, so he's a nice Jewish boy, and he was kind of a kitschy something, and so his people put him through everything. And his mother was like, Barbara, Joey, Johnny, he's so good. You get him an agent and make him something. That's all it takes to become somebody. And especially nowadays, you have the social media. Social media will push you beyond what you are and make you out to be something that is probably not a lot. So,
You end up with, you end up with more disposable disposable talent. Now, with that said, though, I think the most disposable kind of talent I can think of is maybe Zac Efron.
Ugh, good God.
Right? Like, he's fucking amazing to look at. Mm. And when you watch him act, he's not bad. He can certainly handle comedy. Like, he's not a laugh riot. But he knows how, like, he's not a bad actor, I'll give him that. But has nothing to do with his ability. They're not paying any attention to his acting. Yeah. They're paying attention to that fucking
amazing body,
ridiculous, sickening body. Well, anyway, have you seen the trailer for Baywatch?
No, but I just saw him in Bad Dad Grandma, Bad Grandma, whatever it is. And both of them were actually pretty funny.
That was exactly.
They were actually. It was pretty entertaining.
Okay, so forgive me. Who is the young man that won the Academy Award or the one with the hair or the Oscars just recently? That
you're thinking of Francis McDormand.
Thank you.
Who was that guy?
McDormand. No, the young man who won Best Actor, but he has really bad hair. And best actor in something recently, like one of the most recent award ceremonies. He looks like dirty and grungy.
Like this year?
Like just recently. And he won best actor and he has hair that looks kind of dirty and grungy and...
Oh, Casey Affleck.
Yes, thank you.
Who literally does look like he was styled by Francis McDormand, like he looks homeless.
Yes. So I I've seen him as an actor, and he's kind of just that.
Thank you.
And then he won the award for just kind of being.
I did not get it.
Well, okay, so I'm looking at him, and I can honestly say I've seen him, but I don't know what I've ever seen him in.
Yeah,
I know that
he was in. He was in. Perhaps you would remember him from his biggest hit, Drowning Mona.
Wow. Okay.
Did you ever see Drowning Mona?
No.
Don't.
Yeah, well.
I've never even seen Drowning Mona.
Oh, I
thought
saw
that
it
was
once.
A joke. I thought
were, you know. You know how I feel about Miss M and Drowning Mona and Scenes from a Mall and Jinx are three of her movies that I've never been able to watch all the way through.
They're
horrible.
Drowning Mona.
Drowning Mona. She reunited with Danny DeVito, Jamie Lee Curtis.
No, I did not see that.
It was like turn of the century, so it was around 2000, around that time.
Yeah, it was 2000.
She's, now mind you, the first 2 minutes of the movie, she dies. So she's in the movie just a little bit, but it's sort of flashbacks of this horrible woman. But when you see the film, literally as the opening credits are rolling, she opens the back door and starts on her way to work. And it just, bam, the door opens. There was a literal audible gasp from the audience. She looked so bad. Because she's trailer trash. She's playing trailer trash. And there was like, oh my God. Mm. She looked like, well, you've seen her.
Mm-hmm.
She looked awful. The movie is horrible. It's kind of a whodunit comedy. You can imagine how hilarious it is with Jamie Lee Curtis and Danny DeVito. No, I've seen it once.
So, what was the thing about Jamie Lee being a transgender or transsexual?
It was, all right, so what do you know of this?
I know about this.
Of this urban myth?
I would like to.
It's not an urban myth, and I know because I actually, this girl showed me. Because
you know her.
Because I know her.
I've seen her pussy.
No, I know this part of it is true. I know that it's in, they teach it now in college.
Did you suck her dick in college?
It's in college because this girl showed me.
Did you suck Jamie Lee Curtis's dick?
I sucked her little tiny dick.
Aww.
She's probably listening. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis listens in a lot. I don't see her on the thing right now, but she'll be here, I'm sure. No, Jamie Curtis, she has her She has some odd number of chromosomes that make her basically...
No, no, you're something. Now you're saying that she's got Down syndrome.
No, what did I say? Yeah, she. No, it's chromosomes. No, I'm not saying she's got Down syndrome.
Are you a little Togi Brewster?
So, what I was saying...
what geez, were you saying?
I had to say...
Clink and stuff.
I was saying that... I don't know what the fuck we were just talking about.
We were talking about
Jamie Lee and transgender. And is she transgender?
She's not what transgender. You, she so, has a some. It's some chromosomal it has something to do with her chromosomes.
So she wasn't born with both sexes.
No, well, not on the outside. I don't think. But it talks about. This girl showed it to me, and it's in her college one of her books, and I'm reading. I was like, oh, there's a whole chapter on it. And they mentioned Jamie Lee Curtis, so.
So, all right, so I grew up knowing there had been all this talk. My mother was always like, oh, you know, she was born with both sexes.
I don't think that.
That's what I was always told, and they just decided that she was more female.
Maybe she
now, didn't... knowing what we know now about hermaphrodites or, let's just strip away transgender and...
I was going to say, I'm not that...
Ladies,
well, if maybe she had a kind of large
your
clitoris.
Husband. It's but, your husband.
But the bottom line was that basically, like, the way I sort of understand it, knowing what we know now, is that she probably had, it was probably all on the inside.
Yeah.
Like, she probably had some wonky plumbing.
Yeah. It's something like that.
But looking at Jamie Lee Curtis like you do, you know there's, like... There's
no, Jenna, always, she's not a hermaphrodite.
There's always been something sort of a little masculine about her, right?
Yeah, you could see a masculine, yeah.
So, I mean, there was, like, you can see how she could have been a guy. Like Hilary Swank.
Right. She's probably got some...
Do you know what I mean? Really?
She's probably got some chromosomes that are a little off.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hilary Swank is... Yeah, it was too easier for her to play that.
Right? It seemed like it seemed a little like, yeah, all right, well, maybe we're not talking about something here,
yeah.
Hilary.
Yeah.
Glenn Close is another one. I really think when I go to New York, I really think I'm going to go down to the damn TKTS booth and stand in line for some asshole, cheap, shitty seat to see Glenn Close and Sunset Boulevard. Like, I'd pay $7.
I would do that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you see that Sally Field is in Glass Menagerie on Broadway?
No, but I'll take it. Once again, Sally Struthers is one of those actors... The one thing that I know
Sally Field.
I was thinking Sally Struthers too.
That's so weird.
Well, Sally Field. I was just watching Andy Cohen do a recap of a lot of his shows, and one of them was the interview with he and Sally Fields. Never a fan of Sally Field, so whatever. The purple and the green and the is that Sally Field to me? And other than that, yeah, nothing.
Well, do you know, it's a fact that not too many people know about Sally Field. Do you know she has leather fetish? She's got a leather fetish.
Well, I loved her in The Flying Nun.
Yeah, she does. And she's been known to come here to Orlando to Go Bear Gear over in the Milk District.
Shut your face.
And get her leather.
Yeah. What color?
As did Sally Struthers, by the way, because you mentioned her.
Wait,
what was Sally Struthers, the color of her harness?
Well, first of all, that took like three cows.
Four, a lot of hide. Four if you include Sally Struthers.
That's true. Yes.
Oh, good God in heaven.
But I know, Christine, you have done some, you've dipped into the leather pool.
Yes.
You were a dominatrix at one point.
I was. You were a dominatrix. Yes, for quite a few years.
So do you still have any of your dominatrix gear?
I do, but it's honestly probably... Yeah, right? It's not smelly. It's just more sticky and old and mildewed. Yeah. But it's beautiful leather, well, probably
it
from
smells
its
like
time.
Clams.
Well, but, you know, yeah, being that it's mildewed and probably needs, you maybe need some new stuff.
Yes.
Do you know where you can go?
No, where can
where
I
Sally
go?
Where Sally Fields and Sally Struthers go.
Oh my God,
and
I love it.
And that's at Go Bear Gear. down in the Milk District.
The Milk District, I've heard.
Yeah, it's on. It's
great. At, Neil, while we're doing this, can I just get you to do your very best Sally Struthers?
Okay. I can only do Sally Struthers doing Ruth Gordon from the movie Any Which Way.
You can.
You can.
But loose.
But loose.
Sorry, so, and now you're Sally Fields. Your very best Sally Fields.
Hate Sally Fields, so fuck you all.
Well, you know what you could have said?
Purple and a purple and a green and a green.
You could have said, I want to know why.
Ville come in beyond the
noise. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ginger Minge.
Come on in.
Woo!
Hello! Agency Donin Zoo.
Do I just pick up a pair?
No, we girl, you don't even got to put them on. Well, they will just confuse you.
Let's go to a break. Give her a moment. Well,
yeah, let's take a little break. By the way, Go Bear Gear is at 2430 East Robinson Street.
In the Milk District.
In the Milk District.
Great leather goods.
If you mention Full of Grace, or if you mention Divine Grace, you get a 10% discount.
So, and I suggest you buy everything in yellow.
By the way, they have aromas, which we discovered last night are very important and doing very well, and they have them much cheaper. But anyways, on that note, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back. Ginger Minge has joined us.
That's right. It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
Mouthful of Minge.
Mouthful of Minge. So right now, thank you, Jay Skinner, for giving us some music tonight, and that's going to be, I'm looking to see what you gave me. We're going to start with a mix of Marvin.
We actually opened with Ginger Minge.
We did open with your song.
Debut single.
But right now we're going to go to Sexual Healing, and we'll be back in just a bit.
Bye.
To relieve.
We're back. This is the point of the part of the show where Kira Lee would bring us back with some hilarious anecdote about sucking Wink Martindale's dick in a 7-Eleven or something. You know what, though? I'm not going to do that because we ought to keep it classy here. Who did we just listen to?
Well, that last one was the Dandy Warhols, and it was their version of Relax.
A big shout out to Jay Skinner.
Yeah, thank you, Jay.
Hi, Jay Skinner.
Hey, Jay.
Thanks, Jay, who has decided he's going to cash out tonight and abandon us.
Well, he made it clear that since Carolee wasn't going to be here, he was like, well, then
do
I
you know
have
what? And I knew they were fucking. I knew they were fucking.
I know.
I'm just insulted because I'm like the only one that sits here and nobody says that when I'm not here. But okay.
But see, that's not true.
Yeah.
What?
That's not true. We do say that.
Who's fucking me then? So I could know.
Oh, must be Carolee also. I don't
I'm going to wink so hard you can hear it. Click.
Click.
Good click. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Ginger Minch, she's back.
Yay.
Ginger Minch,
I mean, just move the car. She is.
I was just asked by the most basic of bitches, who had just come back from her pumpkin spice latte run, to move my car so she could get hers in and out.
Oh yeah, with
in and out.
Yeah,
love that movie.
Well, I'm gonna have to leave in a little bit, so I don't think I'm gonna be able to back my car out. You can park on the street.
Bitch,
you want me to get molested on the way back?
I've never seen you with this much hair.
You're looking at my back again.
No. You've got a really thick head of hair.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, well, welcome to the show.
I'm excited to be
now,
here.
Now, I know you've just come from Flame On with Patrick O'Rourke and Oral Fryer, like, both of which we love here at the
They're certainly fabulous.
So I'm going to assume you probably were talking about, oh, I don't know, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes. Again, so, and again.
You're just going to be worn out at this point. I'm sorry.
Go for it.
And then behind you, there is V8 Splash as well as Diet.
I have been talking about nothing but RuPaul's Drag Race for 3 years. I'm okay with
that.
What
would you like to talk about?
I don't care. I love Drag Race.
How do you feel about Bette Midler at Hello Dolly?
Oh my god, you posted that clip and I sat in the car and cried. It could be because, well, I'm mentally imbalanced and I'm having problems with meds. That could be the reason, but
I
also...
She said, look at the old girl now, fellas, and I was like, that's right, bitch.
Yeah.
That's right, bitch.
I think she looks perfect. I think she looks beautiful. I think from the little bits and pieces I've seen here and there, she sounds great.
I mean, it's just Bette Midler doing Bette Midler as always.
Yes, the divine Miss M is Dolly Gallagher-Levi.
Horse Van de Gelder.
Literally, there was no surprises when you hear the song. You're like, yes, that's exactly how I imagined Bette Midler doing.
And that's why she has pre-sold $40 million worth of tickets.
$40 million!
Because if you're from fucking Des Moines, Iowa, and you can see one show, you're gonna be like, well, I know what she sounds like, I know what she looks like, I know what these songs sound like, mm-hmm. I can picture in my head exactly what the performance is gonna be, so it's not taking
she
a
is
risk.
The, if nothing, if not the Olive Garden of
of musical theater.
Yeah, it's a brand, you know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
When you go in and eat.
You get free breadsticks and a salad.
You know what it's, you know exactly
she
what
she is your bottomless salad.
She's mm-hmm. gonna, you know exactly what she's gonna taste like. It looks great. I'm still not sold on David Hyde Pierce, who I don't mind as an actor, but his horse fan again.
Whatever.
I don't. Yeah, it does seem odd, but he's getting great feedback.
That's great.
Well, I mean, it's not that he's a horrible actor or that he's a horrible performer. And in any right, mm-hmm. it's not what you think of when you think of horse.
No, you think of Walter Matthau. Yes. You think of somebody who is big. Like Walter Matthau was. He was from sturdy stock, mm-hmm. and there was something imposing about him. But you think of David Hyde Pierce, and it's Niles Crane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a waif of a man.
Yes.
And it's like, well, there's really not much... In your head, at least in my head, I was like, there's not a whole lot of things he can do to intimidate Bette Midler's Dolly.
Yeah.
But supposedly it's working really well.
Now, when you... Because you're on the road most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're in New York a lot. Do you ever get a chance to take in a show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we go all the time.
And so what have you seen?
Everything. We've pretty much seen everything at this point.
Did you catch Glenn Close?
I don't like Sunset Boulevard.
Thank you.
I'm not a big fan of the show, but
sorry.
I can't not see
I love Sunset Boulevard, the movie. Mm. Do not like the musical. The musical to me is... Oh,
it's cheap. Okay. I'm not like the sets and costumes are obviously expensive, but it just seems like he sat down and went, "Well, we got the rights, and they're expecting something by tomorrow morning, so let me turn this out."
Exactly.
That's what it sounds like to me, and it always has.
They're pretty to look at, and I love like to me.
Oh, I won't put any more.
Right, you better not. No, I do. I love Sunset Boulevard. To me, my dream role is to play Norma Desmond in the non-musical Sunset Boulevard. Give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me and I will sell it. I can sing the songs, but to me it's like, but why? And half of the music is like, it's just music to get you through.
Well, it's like Cats to me.
Thank you.
I watched Cats. And it was like he wrote three songs and recycled them over and over.
Oh, did you see the revival?
No, you couldn't pay
Why
me to
would
see
you
the revival.
Do that? Like, I didn't understand. They're like, we're bringing it back and we're changing absolutely nothing.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, I get it. It was, if it ain't broke, I get it.
Yeah.
But fashion changes. Things change. Like, I'm not so sure how I feel about leg warmers. And aerobics costumes covered in fur.
And
I hate cats.
I don't take anything away from those performers because they're incredible performers.
Sure.
You have to be in tip-top shape at the top of your game
to be able to lick
to take that abuse 8 times a week. But it doesn't make the show any better. I guarantee you it's made up of a cast of people who for years said, well, thank God we're not doing Cats.
So wait, a conversation that was brought up before you arrived that I want to hear more from on you. Irma Vep.
It was fun. We did it twice. It was me and Doug Bowser.
Amazing.
And she was saying, the second act being performed as a silent movie.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That was her idea. That wasn't us. It mostly came out of necessity for the fact that Doug... is notorious for not learning lines.
Yeah.
And we kind of wanted to head that off before that even became an issue. So it was just Doug and I, and we were playing a whole bunch of characters each. Like, we still would run backstage. We each had our own dresser. And we'd run backstage and...
Edward Toro.
Yeah, with Edward Toro.
Oh, my God.
He'd be sitting there going, Mommy, I don't know. It's the very first, like... that was the final dress we did. He's like, Mommy, I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So I went out in two different costume pieces going, well, whenever he walks out, I'll know what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It was a whirlwind. We had a very limited time to get it up on its feet the first time we did it. And we knew that Doug was going to be lucky to learn half of the lines of the first act. So she came up with the idea to do the silent movie. And we did it. And it was brilliant. I had done the show before. I did it at Ice House years ago with Joel Warren. And it was long. It was a really long show. I thought it was pretty boring.
If it's not directed well, it can be a real drag.
And that's what I'm saying. And I must say, I have to say, clink, clink, you drinking.
You have to say. by the way, on the show,
I have to say,
we all have to say that a lot. Clink, so when clink, we do, we
always
do the show.
Clink and things. A big running go is every time we're like, you know what I have to say.
I have to say, as a director,
the first six
it
shows
was
nobody stopped.
One of the easiest shows I've ever done because both of you brought everything to me. I mean, as a director, you cast the show well, and then you just sit back and say, okay, bye,
yeah.
And you watch. My favorite part was putting together the music. I love the music, which I stole a lot of it from
Pushing Daisies.
And
I
love that soundtrack. I've used it so many times. Absolutely brilliant. But the thing is that, you know, one thing that many people may not know about you, Ginger Minj, is that you are such an amazing performer, and people see you do, you know, all the drag stuff and things like that. But your work as an actor outside of drag and lip sync and all of that is unbelievable. You gave so much, and someone who is 20 some years your senior, I can say that as a director, I so thoroughly enjoyed being able to sit back and watch you and say,
oh, thank you.
Thank you. Because
you're
so,
really good, honey.
So
like,
unbelievably brilliant.
A lot of people don't understand that Ginger was born out of necessity through acting. Mm-hmm. You know, I started working at Sleuths, and at Sleuths, you're going to play boys and girls sometimes in the same show.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time in the same show. So I started drag that way. That's how I fell into it. And it just kind of became its own performance aspect of Joshua. And then Ginger, of course, I realized I could make more money with her.
Yeah.
So I let her steer the ship for a while.
Now, how long has Ginger been at it?
I've been doing Ginger for 12 years now. This is my 12th year. And I started at Sleuths. I started at the Orlando Fringe Festival with Boys, Boys, Boys.
Mm-hmm.
But that was purely just an acting role for me. I had never done drag at all at that point. I didn't really understand it or know it or appreciate it. Somebody else put me in makeup. Somebody else did my hair. Somebody else put me together. And it was my job just to walk on stage
and
in those kitten heels
right. And
tell the story. But then once I got cast at Sleuths because of that, I suddenly had to learn how to do my own hair and my own makeup and my own costumes and learn how to be these complete female personas.
Mm-hmm.
Because at Sleuths, you're not playing a drag queen, you're playing a woman.
A woman, right.
And even if it's silly, at the height of its silliness, you still have to be an authentic woman.
And you still have to answer this woman, and even when people try to question your sexuality within it, I love the fact that the characters that are the drag characters answer with the question of, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I am who I am, not to even get into Lacage, but you're basically...
I've been trying to get into Lacage.
Well, I've seen you twice, perform twice before I ever saw Ginger Minj. Like, the first two times I ever saw you perform, you were out of drag. You were acting.
I look more like a woman out of drag.
Acting as a guy. And it was, I think, both once was Sleuths, and there was maybe both first times for Sleuths. I got to see you guys, though, the night that you had the primarily gay cast. So it was Christine and Alia and you and Doug. And that was awesome. That was so, you could tell you guys were having a blast. It was someone's last show.
Oh my!
Who was the guy who was playing the stereotypical
Chinese character?
Someone playing Mr. Shen.
Ching
that was their last show,
and it was so funny. Oh my!
It was so incredibly racially
so
insensitive.
I know, and he's still there. Mr. Chen is still there.
I know. God, what the hell was... Who was that?
I would love
it
to know.
It was their last show, though. I remember that.
Wow. Now I'm going to
try to remember. Ladies and gentlemen, Jane Skinner.
Oh, my God.
Yay!
I couldn't take this trash heap of a show anymore without me.
Oh, good God. Lady, you're going to have to move.
I'm sorry, lady's taking your place this time.
Actually,
I'm just
here for the free pizza. Ignore me.
Right.
Knock it out, guys. There is
pizza.
Jenna in there. Let's also introduce CJ. How are you?
Yeah, CJ.
Jamie.
I'm here.
The right-hand man, I guess. So
yeah.
How long have you guys been together now?
Almost 2 years.
September.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. September will be 2 years.
Oh, isn't that crazy? Well, it's also weird because the two of you, especially Christine, you were with me through the entirety of my previous relationship.
Yes.
All 11 years of that, she was there and she saw all the ups and downs, mostly downs. But I don't think you've ever met.
No, Chris, I haven't, which is why I was so excited when he came in. I was
two
like,
2 years? Yeah. I can't believe it's been that long.
I've been hiding in the shadows.
It must have been cold there in my shadows.
I remember when you were vague booking about him.
Yeah.
That it was sort of
vague
this
booking.
This guy.
Because I was trying not to, you know, especially at that point, I was a very public
figure.
Yeah,
you don't want to put him on
blast. I was like,
that's the thing. When you have to be. That's I love that, and that on its own needs to be its own little article called, you know, I was a vague public figure and what I had to do to achieve it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The vague boyfriend.
I mean, between the both of you.
Although now he's got a bigger Drag Race fan base than I do.
Yeah, people like me more.
So I hosted the season 9 premiere, which was great. We had a great time, but a lot of the fans that are like the hardcore fans were there. I become friends with them. So we all went out to breakfast, and he was tired. He took the van home with Nina Bonina Brown and Shea Coulee, both from season 9. So Nina, her big thing is Facebook Living, everything she does. He got on there, and she was floored by the fact that every person on her feed was like, oh my God, it's CJ, CJ, I love you. Oh my God, I love you so much. Tell Ginger I said hi. And she was like, how do people know you?
Because literally so many of us, like anybody, like I'm speaking to you as someone who knows you personally. So
yeah.
I am a fan, but like I said, I didn't realize it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
I've spent the last 2 years just living vicariously through you. Like, oh, here she is.
And yeah.
Because I remember you before the show.
Yeah.
And I remember when you were going through the audition process.
Running up to you going, have you talked to Bianca? Have you talked to Lady Bunny?
I remember going to the Fringe Festival with you and you said, wait, you consulting with a medium.
I did. Well, she was an extra large. She was very extra large.
She was literally like, all right, so what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So I got to watch that. Then watch you go through the show. You were robbed, girl. You were fucking robbed.
But no, I was given an extension on my shelf life, honestly.
Sure.
I could have taken $100,000 and a crown and been happy with it.
And what is that?
And I would have been happy with it.
That's like $625.
But you know what? It's not even about the money. It's about that achievement and that. It's that badge on your utility belt. But I also am one of 10 hand chosen by RuPaul to be an all-star. So whether that shook out in my favor or not, no matter how my journey was vastly different on All Stars than it was on season 7, I'm still an All Star.
But, and you're also, you're now a brand.
Yeah.
Like, you're a national brand at this point.
Right? Yeah.
Interesting.
And, for instance, like, your whole bit with the Aspen Comedy Week, that sort of thing, like, World of Wonder logo obviously loves you.
They have adopted me as their own. I've become the face of Logo. And
you're perfect for this. You're so good for
this. Well, it's like I said when I was doing the season 9 premiere, I was talking to the audience and they wanted me to say something about, you know, how ecstatic we are to be on VH1. And we are. It's awesome.
That's great.
All Stars was simulcast on VH1 and Logo. I thought that was brilliant. Mm-hmm. But now that it's moved totally over to VH1 with the follow-up, like the encore performances on Logo, I took it upon myself to walk out there not knowing if I was going to get yanked off the stage and say, we're happy to be a part of Logo. We are thrilled to be a part of Logo. We're happy that it's moving in a new direction and we can reach a wider audience. But please don't forget that 10 years ago, nobody would take a chance on this show except Logo. And they're the ones that have built this international platform, not only for RuPaul, not only for the 113 of us who have been on the show, but for drag as an art form. They are the ones who single-handedly gave this to the world.
Well, now, I said when Drag Race started, I looked at it and I said to myself, you know, this is the second time in my life that RuPaul has made drag popular again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know as well as I do, you've been at it long enough, and you've studied enough to know that there are peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
It gets really popular and it gets very saturated and people get sick of it. Then it goes back underground, mm-hmm. usually after some disaster, some tragedy or calamity.
Yes, like Donald Trump.
Like Donald Trump or 9/11 or AIDS, or this has happened over and over and over in the last 40 years. You watch that sort of peak and valley, and you realize that right now we're riding a peak mm-hmm. with drag. Everybody with basic cable and a tube of lipstick is
yeah.
You say everybody knows everything there's to know about drag because and you've got queens on the show whose only experience
their
with
entire
drag is,
reference point
I
for drag.
RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was very interesting on my season with Violet. Violet and Pearl were both a product of Drag Race.
Was that not a Prince song? Violet and Pearl.
But they were both products of Drag Race, where their entire reference point for the art of drag came from RuPaul's Drag Race. And it's not a bad thing. I think it's incredible that there's now an entire generation who never would have thought about this as a valid career, much less a valid art form, you know? 10 years ago, this would not have been a blip on some people's radars. But it's certainly interesting how different people approach the same exact process, because you've got girls like Kennedy, myself, you, even Chris, who have come through the trenches, basically. We know what drag in the club has been like and how subversive it's been and how underground it can be and how dangerous just being a drag queen has been for many, many years. And then you suddenly go from being ostracized and being taunted and having bricks thrown at you while you're trying to cross the street when you had to park across from the Parliament House and walk over, to being celebrated around the world and being met in airports in
Australia.
That's
gotta be the best revenge. Success is truly the best revenge.
I showed up, I did a 3-week tour of Australia, and every airport that I went to, there were 40, 50, 60 kids waiting there with balloons and posters and treating me like a fucking real celebrity. Treating me like Jackie Onassis getting off the airplane. You know, like it. Absolutely beautiful.
How does that make you feel? Like now, like you said, you've been at it for 12 years. Mm-hmm. So you've put in your dues. I know you well enough to know you've worked your ass off for everything you've got. I get it. So now you're not just being recognized. Now you're not just being appreciated. It's not Orlando. It's not Leesburg.
Yeah.
It is the world. Like, you are literally on the other side of the planet that you've never been to.
Yeah.
Physically, and you have people meeting you in the airport with open arms and flowers and signs and all in yards. Well, how does that feel?
It's
like,
crazy.
I know it feels great, but
it doesn't even feel great. Like, that's the wrong word for it, because it's overwhelming. I can't even say you, because I can't speak for anybody else other than my perspective, but I feel like there's such a magnifying glass on Drag Race, the Drag Race girls, and me, like, just for myself in particular. I feel like there were such mixed opinions about me, my talent level, my personality, whatever people could cling to. So I feel like I'm under this constant microscope of people just looking at me and expecting me to behave one way or another, or waiting for me to do or say something. So I'm always, not anymore. I've gotten to the point where I can just kind of do and say what I feel is right and be me, and people accept it. But for the first year and a half especially, it was very hard. I felt like I had to be a character all the time, that I had to go out there and combat the issues before they began. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
that's a good point.
I had to be not only a role model for all of these kids that were meeting me at the airport, but almost like a mother to each and every single one of them. And I had to give them, and I will still go out of my way. You can ask him. I will go out of my way to show up 2 hours early to a venue.
Well, there's a certain responsibility that comes with it for sure. And I love that you appreciate it.
Because I will sit there with these kids that aren't old enough to get into the club for 2 hours before I have to go out and do a regular meet and greet and a show for the people who pay for these tickets. I will sit out there and I'll talk to them and I'll let them cry and I will let them take pictures and I will let them play and drag because it's important. And I don't think that it is a responsibility to some extent, but it's also a privilege. Because when I was a kid, when I was their age, I didn't have this. I could go and rent John Waters movies at the local gas station / video store / barbecue restaurant and watch them in the privacy of the Florida room.
My father ran a barbecue / drive-in / abortion clinic. Go ahead.
Not government funded, though. But I could go in there and get these videos and lie to my grandmother and say, Pink Flamingos is a kid's movie, Grandma. Yeah, I promise.
Yes.
And it's a completely true story.
Yeah, and she does look like a Disney witch. Who would die?
Well, because it was just the clear plastic cases. But you remember the ones you had to squeeze and shake to get them out?
Yeah, my father ran a convenience store / deli / video store.
That's exactly what this was.
One-stop shop.
Yeah, it was a barbecue restaurant inside of... Yep. Of like a Jiffy store with a gas station attached. Yeah.
I love that we're sitting around and talking about kids that look up to you and me as now being the senior of that and being, you know, old enough to be kind of your mother kind of thing. That in watching RuPaul's Drag Race, when you did not get it, and Miss Thing got it because she was skinny, crack whore, kind of looking, not really talented, but the kids would love her person. And I sat there as someone that knows the business, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that was their move. That was good for business, and it was good for timing and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I watched it, and I said, everybody who was old enough to appreciate talent and appreciate show-for-show quality and... You were the one that should have won, and everybody knew that.
Well, let me tell you the weird thing. The weird thing was when I was going through the process of season 7 airing, and I started to get hate because of the way that things were edited and how things would be perceived on television that weren't necessarily that way in person.
You mean it's not reality television?
I thought it was a documentary. I feel so...
They're manipulating us?
This is exactly how I explain it to people. I will go, this is the magic of editing. Divine Grace, you pour the best drink that I've ever had in my life. That's it. Now, with editing, it goes, Divine Grace, you pour the best drink I've ever had in my life. Then they suddenly add... And cut to Chris in the corner going, this is... From 3 weeks later, they'll cut to her sipping her drink and going, oh no, Miss Thing. And all of a sudden, I'm making fun of your beverage-making abilities.
Which is also why I have said, from the time we've started doing this show, when it comes to award ceremonies, the editor should get the number one award.
Completely.
The editor of a movie, of a television show,
Should get
the number one award. Not the best actor, not the best one. No, the best editor, the best person that can cut that thing together.
And tell a story.
And make everybody believe the shit. And you're going, wait, no, mm-hmm. I didn't do that. Because I have friends that are doing Beverly Hills and New York housewives things, and they keep saying, oh girl, you know that's not what's going on. I'm like, I know it's not what's going on.
Well, now,
but the editor makes it happen.
How's this for a segue? Fire Island.
Well, before we do that,
yes, girl.
Let me just finish this.
Please.
Just this thought was, when we were going through it, every single year, the demographic for Drag Race gets a little bit younger. And now we're like 13, 14-year-old Instagram kids. And I love that they have this outlet. I love that this is something that is normal
to them. What a brand new day, huh?
It is. That's incredible. Yeah. But
that's great.
They're also the most vocal. So whenever they thought that I was being mean to Pearl or Violet or whoever, then all of a sudden they rallied their troops to defend their favorites and would attack me on every single social media outlet that they had. Twitter, Reddit, Instagram, Facebook. I bet you some of them went back to my fucking Friendster and said something.
They would show up
on my social media. You're a fat whore. You should die. I hope you kill yourself. I hope somebody else kills you. All of this shit that you know they don't mean, but they're still like, I will never support you. So I was so afraid going out on the road that nobody was going to show up to my shows. Nobody. And then I went to the first couple gigs, and mama, I started breaking attendance records all across the world. And I realized, oh, it's because the people who are my fans don't sit around on the internet all day because they're at their jobs, they're older, they're working, they're raising their families, they're working their
they
careers.
They appreciate what is truly talent.
And they're the ones that are old enough to get into the clubs and buy my merchandise, mm-hmm. and buy my award-nominated compact disc.
Thank you.
And tea available on iTunes.
Which ding. I bought it.
But it was such an eye-opening experience because you get caught in the bubble of the machine that is RuPaul's Drag Race, and you forget
that... The American machine.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be so different everywhere you go.
Well, and as soon as you get out there on the road and you start meeting these people and talking to these people, even the ones that hate you show up to your shows mm-hmm. as soon as they can, or they wait outside because you have that... It's like Donald Trump, honestly. You can hate that man as much as you want, but you'll show up and see him because he was on TV. You've got to put that face to it. And a lot of these people have shown up and said, I hated you, but after sitting and talking to you, I have an appreciation of what you do.
I feel the same way about you being on my show. I hated you, but
this is a show?
Oh, yeah, we're actually recording.
Oh, God.
I wanted to ask you this a little earlier. We were talking about something. One of the wonderful things I think, one of the many wonderful things you probably get to experience because of this, I would imagine was the moment that you got to sing this song for Harvey Fierstein. Can I just play a little clip of it?
You can play the whole thing.
Okay.
It was the best moment of my life, honestly.
I am.
I cried, by the way.
But listen, because I'm in the wrong key.
Special creation.
Oh.
And then I'm like, oh, okay, there we go. So.
And you go up that half step.
Take a look. Give me the heart.
This is the moment you live for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The ovation.
I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Oh, this was it.
You'll never lose that.
And you're singing it to Harvey Fierstein.
To who's bawling like a bitch.
And being there and sitting backstage and watching it, everyone backstage, just tears.
I can imagine.
Macklemore.
Macklemore's in
Mary
tears.
Mary Lambert.
Yeah, she's in tears. Rachel Patton's in tears.
Yeah.
The producer's in tears. Just all of these people.
I love when they were like...
Carson Kressley in tears. Like, just everybody.
Are we on right now?
Yes. Oh,
everybody's
God,
just
no,
okay.
No.
I just gotta say, I love that I came backstage after singing this, like way after singing this, and they were like, "Rachel Patton really wants to meet you." I was like, "Cool, who's that?" And they were like, "She sings fight song." I thought that was Katy Perry for a year. I thought that song was sung by Katy Perry, but was soon okay. I don't have any recollection of actually singing that song.
Really?
So when you go back and watch the video, which by the way is. It was filmed beautifully.
It filmed beautifully. Wow. And it should be, because
like
3 days in a row we were there.
You have to understand. Knowing you like I've known you, and so I'm watching you work locally,
mm-hmm.
you're, for me, just like a hometown sister, that sort of thing. So watching your climb was a big deal. That was fun. But screw all that. Let's just forget for a second that you were on Drag Race. Like, let's
a lot of people do.
Your appearance, that let's forget that it's obvious that VH, or not VH1, but Logo is now looking at you and saying, no, 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 but you're still now our girl.
Yeah.
So they've started pushing you in to, because you are sort of the, you're sort of the new Varla Jean. You're sort of the yes. new Lady Bunny. You're sort of
Which
the
is
new...
so amazing to me because I love Bunny. I love Sherry Vine. I love all of the classic girls. Mm-hmm. But... The
historic,
one,
I believe, is what you meant.
Legendary. It means old.
Legendary.
The one that I was always so drawn to was Varla Jean.
Oh, yeah.
She
yeah.
Before I did drag, before I really knew anything about drag, I was still so infatuated with her. I loved her.
Or with him. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
God damn.
But just a talented person. Like, yeah. incredibly talented. And it's still the one I haven't met.
Oh, wait. What? Pick me.
I met him at Parliament House in the East. Let me tell you, as a dude.
Oh, no, he's a beautiful dude.
Ooh-wee.
And I think he's a beautiful woman, too. Yeah,
of course he is, but... Mm-hmm. Let me
he's
tell you,
your basement girl.
When you meet him face-to-face, yes, he gets swampy.
Going to equate you with someone else who I have met who was unbelievable and sweet and amazing... was Jimmy James.
I just met him when I was doing Rocky Horror this year.
He came to Southern Nights probably 20 years ago and did a show there. And I went by myself. Allie had to work. And I said, I would like to go see him because he is truly amazing.
Unbelievably good.
And well-rounded. Like, once again, it's like... He did the show, not in drag, but just did all of his voices, all of, and just as himself, was so many characters.
Yeah.
The same as I equate you, because working with you was the same thing as watching someone that's like, I am one person, and the thing is, you know what? I know I'm good. Me, Chris, I know I'm fucking kick-ass as an actor. So do you. You're not pompous about it. You're like, I'm better than everyone else. No, 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 no. You know you're good. You know
in
you
spite
do good
of
work.
Being from Orlando.
You're grounded and your work is good.
No, she meant like you're grounded.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage who's entering my home. Cha-cha!
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 Cha-cha, please allow me to introduce you to CJ and our star tonight, Miss Gingerman.
Hi.
But Jimmy James.
So I met him. Last year I played Frank in Rocky Horror, and they brought me back to play Magenta this year. And he happened to just stumble into the show. My entire career, people have told me, you're Jimmy James. Like, you look like Jimmy James. You sound like Jimmy James. You are fucking Jimmy James reincarnated.
You kind of, yeah.
Never met him. Never thought twice about it. I remember loving him on Donahue and Ricky Lake and Sally, all the shows.
Marilyn Monroe was, oh my God.
Yeah.
What?
But I was like, okay, whatever. But I remembered him way back then. And I was like, I am not Marilyn Monroe. You people are crazy. He... showed up to the show and waited afterwards and bought my CD. It was the week that we released it. And he had such a beautiful conversation with me. And looking at him, I was like, oh my God, we are the same person.
The nicest, kindest,
I have that picture somewhere.
Sweetest person. Me too. The thing is, I waited for him after the show and no one else waited for him. Like, after the show, I was like, I guess I'm going to have to wait for 5,000 people. And it was like, he walked out by himself, no assistant. Like, I'm used to working with a talent when they come in town for the Florida Film Festival and having 5 bazillion people wanting to meet Paul Reiser and Peter Falk and all of these famous stars.
Okay, I've gone for years without hearing Paul Reiser's name in both of the podcasts I've done today. We've spoken about Paul Reiser.
Oh, another great guy. I loved him. I worked as their personal assistant
Ladies
forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a question from Jay Skinner.
Yes,
Hi, Gingerman Jay Skinner, token straight guy.
Hi, me too.
Gay.
He likes sports.
Honorary guy.
That's the two of us. Side by side. Sorry, we'll
now I'm going to have to show you my picture with him. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Jay.
But, yeah, like, down.
So, admittedly, I am decades behind on my gay watching.
I am,
that
too.
That includes movies,
you watch a lot
television.
Of games, but...
Well, I'm sorry, my gay TV and movies.
You
and
can't be
like
any
that.
Worse than this one right here. CJ is so bad at gay culture.
I am.
Good for you.
But I'm actually not gay, so I have an excuse.
He's not gay.
He's not gay either.
Ginger, note yourself, Ginger only dates straight guys.
Oh, yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. Very
interesting.
I'm a straight and a figure eight.
So my question is, I've never seen RuPaul Drag Race, though I've heard of the show, and your name has been, other than RuPaul, is the one I only ever hear about. I don't know if that's because I'm
but
only...
But it's kind of true. Like, they I couldn't the go-to girl.
I literally could not name another... I couldn't name another performer.
What about Banaca Del Taco?
Do this. Give me real names and fake names, and I'll tell you which ones are real or fake.
Okay, how about Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, that's obviously
fake. How
about
Bebe Sarah Bonet?
Who? No.
Miss T-Cell.
She's the first
I
winner.
Love Miss T-Cell.
Literally never heard this. So,
How about Champagne Tastes?
And Caviar Dreams.
Miss Geneva Convention.
How about Ambrosia Cunt Whistle? That's the name I'm changing myself
Mrs.
to.
Mrs. Thistle Twat.
I feel like it feels so Downton Abbey. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ambrosia Cunt Whistle.
Well, here's
next on Downton Abbey.
Here's my confession / observation. I have seen drag performers every Saturday night now for almost a year and a
60
half.
60 years.
Almost 2 years now, actually.
It's this fetish.
I care nothing for you homos at all, but I can't get enough.
Can't get enough of drag.
In fact, I only just learned about drag kings last week. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Do you know what bio drag is?
Never heard of it.
It's real women who do drag.
Yeah.
And it's kind of my favorite thing right
so
now.
So women dressing Jenna. As women.
No, women dressing as drag queens.
Jenna is
like
real women putting
Victoria.
On wigs and like a lot of makeup.
Right.
Because here's a little tidbit that you probably don't even know. Chris and I have the same drag mother.
Thank you. Yes, we do.
We both have Rusty Fawcett.
Miss Rusty Fawcett.
Yes. Who's been on the show.
She's fantastic.
But that's her drag mother. Because Rusty was the first Miss Florida everything. She was the first Miss Parliament House, first Miss Orlando, and was one of the original Footlight players at Parliament.
1975.
And her big number for a while was Mommy Dearest. And this is the one that played Christina and got the shit beat out of her every single performance.
Yep.
Back to me and my question.
there is a question. I'm sorry.
Wait, before you go any further, though, I think we should really be focusing on jobs right now. Maybe the investment.
Steve Jobs.
I understand what you're trying to say, but why are we not talking about the enormous gains in job growth?
No, let's not. Let's not talk about any of that.
Can we talk about risk gains?
Go ahead, Kellyanne Conway. Go ahead.
My question.
Kelly Mann.
My question the long way around is, so I've seen drag performances, and other than literally one performer who sings live, not always sings live, but occasionally sings
live. Who was
this? A local performer, BJ Stevens.
I know BJ very well. Yeah.
So BJ has a wonderful
voice. First
drag
queen I ever saw.
She sings for the gay men's choir and all that. She has a wonderful voice.
Incidentally, the first drag queen Methuselah also saw with BJ Stevens.
Back to my... So I now see that you have very talented pipes and you can sing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's because I loop them up every day.
We are about to get to break. For
well, I think
song.
He's going
to
finish
I've got
his
a question.
Question.
It's a question.
It's getting there.
We're still on my question.
Sound out the hard words.
Do you perform... Are any of your performances not live? Do you actually do routines with...
My favorite thing about... Me in particular.
Not
a good question. Okay, thanks, folks. That was a great show.
No, my favorite thing about the deal that I have with my management company is they sell it. They sell the product that the customer wants. So I'm one of the few girls that you can call, and if you have an event, you can say, I want her to sing live, and there's a different contract and a different rate and all of that kind of thing for that. I want Ginger to show up and lip sync two numbers and do an hour-long meet and greet. There's a different contract for that. And they they funnel it beautifully, they handle it beautifully, and I get what a to great do. Gig. I get to do gig. Such a great mix of yeah. both, though, and that's what I love.
Do they actually? Do any of them know your work beyond what is Ginger? Like what I no. know you, like as a male actor and the work you can do. No. They really have no idea.
They have no clue. When wow. I got cast to do Frank in Rocky Horror last year, there were a lot. 2 years ago, there were a lot of people. The online were like, how the fuck is she gonna do it? She's fat and she's ugly and she can't do this and she can't
I
do that. Da, 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 da.
To see you
I did it and they posted it. Video clips or the people came to see it in Texas and every single one of them like, best Frank I've ever seen. Incredible. What
I'm sorry,
an actor.
But your boy work is equally as strong as your female work. And again, I am a very critical director and a very critical when it comes to performances, and your work on both sides is so strong, and it's such a shame that everybody is so one-sided in wanting to see your work, because if they saw yeah. your, like for film and television work, I'm talking film and television work as a boy, mm-hmm. people would flip out if they knew how unbelievably strong your work is.
And well, and people
I'm
also...
I'm getting paid nothing to say that.
But people also are very surprised when they see that I'm not afraid to get dirty. I'm not afraid to get ugly. I'm not worried about going out there and being a beauty queen. I don't fucking care. I don't need to be a glamathon. And that bothers some people.
Now, wait, I would just like to say, this is the moment in the show that Carol Lee, had she been here, would turn to Christine and say, I would say something similar to, please apply more suction to his phallus while you're not. Now I'm saying that I'm sure a bit more conservatively.
Of course.
But
I have no problem sucking your ass when it comes to the fact you
no
do really great work.
Hello from the suck my
yeah. I have no more questions, Your Honor.
Alright, so we're going to cut to break. Can you stick around for just a moment?
I can stay however long you want.
I would like to discuss
with you. We kind of do a second show, which is about to start.
Where we can actually be dirty and talk about dirty things and not have to worry about our mouth.
I would really like to discuss with you, I would like to rehash a couple conversations with you.
Yeah.
About your album.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about whatever you want. All
right, so if you are listening to the podcast, just go to the next one. And if you're listening live, just hang in there. We'll be back in about...
Five or 40 minutes.
5 or 40 minutes, but we'll be back with Ginger Minge. And Cha Cha will be with us.
Wait, listen to our
Cha-Cha's
closing.
Cha-Cha's gonna take my place
because
I'm out, girl. My wife is.
This is Sam from Go Bear, and you are listening to Full of Grace Show. Thank you for listening.
There you go.
Thank you. Come again.